out in your life. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm glad those blessings are faithful. That don't negate now our responsibility to do our best to live for the Lord and live a holy life. In fact, I believe that's some of the outward evidences that you are saved, is that sin no longer has dominion over you. Amen. It doesn't have dominion over you. Don't mean that you don't sin, but it doesn't have dominion over you. And you can have victory and rise above it. And you owe all that to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm thankful, amen, for how God the Father treats me, amen, according to my relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Mark chapter number 6. Let's stand together. We'll read our verses. And amen. Reach over and pinch your neighbor. Tell them, wake up. It's preaching time this morning. All right? Mark chapter number 6. Begin reading in verse number 45. The Bible said, "And straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while He sent away the people. When He had sent them away, He departed into a mountain to pray. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land. And He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. When they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good courage, it is I, be not afraid. And He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. They considered," listen to what Mark adds here, "for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Thank you for standing. You can be seated this morning. Let's ask the Lord one more time to help us and give us what we need from the Word of God today. Heavenly Father, we know, Lord, that we have no right to come before You apart from the name and by the blood and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Lord, we come to You as He is our Lord and our Savior this morning, beseeching You that through Him, Lord, You might hear our prayer and, Lord, our request this morning. Lord, our request is simply this, in this prayer and in this time, Lord, would You send the help that we need from Thy Word. Lord, I pray this morning in all things that Christ would have preeminence, that the Spirit of the Lord could work in this place, arrange the atmosphere. Lord, I pray that You would do and accomplish, Lord, exactly what needs to be done. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, for the saints of God that, Lord, are upon some maybe stormy season of their life. I pray that, Lord, this text and this passage, Lord, would comfort their heart. Lord, for those that are sailing in the sunshine today, and Lord, maybe there's a storm upon their horizon, I pray this morning, Lord, the truths that will be granted, Lord, would be stored in their heart. And Lord, that the Word of God and these illustrations, Lord, would be to their own victory in days to come. And then, Lord, we pray especially for those that are on the stormy winds of sin and, Lord, a sinful life, and Lord, are sowing things, Lord, in the wind that, Lord, they're going to reap one day. Lord, I pray that You get a hold of their heart this morning. Save them by Your grace. Lord, call them by Your Spirit. And Lord, do an eternal work. And for all that You do for sinner and saint, Lord, for that one that, Lord, is numbered among the heathen. And Lord, that one that is numbered among the children of God. And Lord, whoever they might be, whatever You do, we'll glorify You for it. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen and amen. We understand from the message on last week that the Lord has and the disciples themselves have been seeking to find a place of rest. And seeking that place of rest, there was a great multitude of 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And so a rather large crowd that is supposed by many who have studied this account And it was likely 15 to 20,000 or more people that the Lord and His disciples in the last section of verses had ministered unto. Much preaching and teaching had gone on. Their bellies had become hungry. And by the amount of 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, Christ multiplied that and blessed it and fed the entire crowd by the ministering and the servanthood of the disciples, feeding them in the companies that had set down. Much has been going on even prior to that instance where the disciples have experienced many victories. They have seen the Lord use their life in great degree. Their eyes have been opened. Their eyes have witnessed. And their ears have taken in wondrous truths and wondrous things that that you and I could only dream about being a part of. They have been witness to. Now this morning, as we've read these verses, this is another one of those miracle sections of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there are 2 miracles that take place in, and maybe even more than that if we broke it down, but primarily 2 miracles that took place. The one is hit upon in this text, and that is in Christ Jesus comes and walking to them upon the Sea of Galilee, walking upon the water. In the midst of their storm, what they were terrified would bring them down. Christ in great victory walked across it that day. And what a miracle that is, that Christ came walking on the water. And Matthew's account of this, the second part of this miracle that would be emphasized, is that not only did Christ walk upon the water, but Peter, when the Lord came to where they were, said, "Lord, if it really is you, and bid me come unto thee." And Christ bid him to come, and not only did Christ come walking upon the water, but Peter, by the word of Christ, walked upon the water that evening as well. And that is absent out of the text, or the details, it is absent out of the text that we'll preach from this morning, but there is a twofold miracle. Amen, and I won't even say anything more about Peter's miracle and walking on the water. Amen, for this message, we're interested, amen, in this event in the life of the disciples. Now this morning, to get us to our thought, we'll begin where we began to read this morning, verses 45 through 47. I see this morning the departure of the disciples. We find here that immediately following the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 men, that is, and all the many multitudes more that have been there, and after the disciples had ministered, after the disciples have fed that crowd and gathered up the 12 baskets of fragments that have been taken up, Christ constrained them to get back in the ship and to sail to the other side, this other region, this other town, and bear the name of the desert place that belonged unto Bethsaida. And so we find that Christ has sent the disciples away. And in their departure, what I want you to know by way of introduction is their submission to the Lord's commandment. And the Lord, to use the Bible word in our text, the Lord having constrained them, they submit to that commandment for their life. Get in the boat and begin to launch out. And Brother Larry, they are sailing in the will of God. Now, the fact that Christ has sent them away, I want to say this morning in the word constrained, it does indicate that as Christ initially gave the command, that there must have been some reluctance in the mind and in the life of these disciples to do that. After all, in fact, I want to say maybe, amen, the fact that He sent them away, amen, they likely did not understand, maybe did not even want to go. But may I say this morning, Christ knew what was the better way. Amen. The fact that He's put them in the boat and sent them away. In John's account of this text, the feeding of the multitude and the sending of the disciples away across the sea again,
Amen. You'll find that there is this statement that is made in John's account that was not made in Mark's account. And that statement is this: when that multitude seen what Jesus did, that they began to rise up in excitement. And the Bible said Jesus knew that they would take him by force and make him their king. In other words, they were willing in that moment because of the miracle to exalt Christ to be their king, to lead an insurrection and to lead a rebellion against that of the Roman Empire, and to set Israel free from that Roman bondage that they were in. Christ knew it was not time for him to set up his earthly kingdom. And no doubt the disciples see and they're thinking within themselves, hey man, this is what we preached for months, that, hey man, he was king and he was Messiah, and that they ought to bow their knee to his lordship, that, and bow their knee to his coming kingdom. And not no doubt the disciples in their mind are thinking, hey man, now is the time. Look at the crowds that are willing to embrace that. Hey man, but Christ knows it is not time. He understands the cross is in view. He understands there's a price to be paid for sin. In fact, he understands of the multitude what the disciples cannot see. They're not interested in his message. Amen. They're only interested in his miracles. And you can have miracles heaped upon your life, one upon another. Amen. Ton by ton, as they would say. Amen. But miracles, my friend, will never bring you into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes the message of the gospel. Amen. A message embraced by, amen, the word of God that you embrace. I indeed am a sinner. I am indeed away from God. I am in need of His grace and of His mercy. And that His blood shed at Calvary is the only, amen, the only remedy, amen, for the sin of my life. Amen. And embrace Christ and Christ alone. Amen. And Christ knew that, amen, miracles would only take them so far, and they would never, never let, amen, make it into eternity, much less in an earthly realm. Amen. And so Christ sends his disciples away, amen, as it were, to calm down, amen, the so-called revival that looked like, amen, was going on in that day. And so he sends them away, and they, amen, being constrained by the Lord, are found to be in submission to his will. They may not have understood it. They may not have liked it. They may not have wanted to do this thing. But, amen, I believe there was the resolve in their heart, amen, that Christ would even pray in days to come. Nevertheless, not as we will, but thy will be done. Amen. And so these disciples, are not out of the will of God. They are not in rebellion against the plan of Christ. Amen. They are departing in submission to the Lord. And I spent too much time on that. Number two, I see the distress of the disciples. Amen. As now Christ is left alone to disband the masses and the multitude back into their towns, and he has departed into a mountain to pray. Amen. At even time, that is, as the sun begins to set and the moon begins to rise, we pray, amen, that Christ is, my friend, alone on the land, the disciples being in the midst of the sea. Amen. The Bible speaks of the fact, amen, that evidently while they're in the ship, while they're in the will of God, they're doing exactly what Christ has bid them to do. There is a storm of wind that begins to thrust itself upon the Sea of Galilee, and it's not long until the waves are beginning to rise in great degree, and so much so that the disciples are being moved off of their course. Amen. They're trying to get unto Bethsaida. But the Bible said the wind was contrary to them. And that phrase simply means this. Amen. It simply means to be opposite. Amen. Or to be antagonistic. It simply means to be in front of. And that the disciples are headed one way, but there are head force winds that are opposing them reaching their destination. This wind is so great and so magnificent. Amen. That as Christ looked from the land and looked from the mountain top and looked from the place of prayer, amen, he could see them. The Bible said, amen, tolling in rowing. Amen, he saw them tolling in rowing. And let me hit upon that for a minute to show you the distress that the disciples are in the will of God, trying to get where, amen, Christ said for them to go. Amen, tolling in rowing. This word tolling, it's got a very interesting word. It means more than laboring. It means more than grabbing an oar, amen, and just trying to paddle, amen, into the wind. It literally means torture. Amen, that Christ seen them tolling and rowing. That, amen, there was great expense being poured out. There was great effort being given to, amen, trying to stay the course. And yet, the winds of antagonism are blowing against him. Amen, the winds of opposition, amen, seem to be beating upon the vessel. And my friend, now they're brought to a place of great pain and a place of great torture. In fact, this word that is used for tolling a foul is a word that lends a reference to what I found is, and I use quotes, amen, to the touchstone. I didn't know what the touchstone was, and I began to reference that and began to study it out. Here's what I found, Brother Larry, the touchstone is. The touchstone was an instrument of torture by which one was forced to divulge truth. In other words, what they are facing in that storm, they are facing in that ship in the will of God, is that a storm has come against him. And that storm is, as it were, amen, that instrument used to inflict pain upon them. Amen, trying to draw something out of them. Amen, trying to make it hard on them. And trying to, my friend, bring them and break their will and drive them off the direction and out of the plan that Christ has established for their life. Amen, I will say this about the disciples. Amen, in the midst of that storm, in the midst of the opposition, amen, though there was antagonistic winds blowing against them, amen, they still held on to their oar. Amen, they're still trying to row. Amen, all of hell is trying to sail them. And my friend, these winds and this storm, amen, they feel like torture is being poured out upon them. Amen, but they, my friend, have not dropped their oar. Amen, they're trying to row on in spite, amen, of the winds that are contrary to them. And so this place that the disciples are in, amen, we call it the distress of the disciples. Amen, what child of God does not, amen, have a ability to put themselves, amen, in the boat with these disciples? Have you ever felt like, man, I'm just trying to do the best I can, amen, to serve the Lord and do what He's told me to do and be what He's told me to be? I'm just trying to get to from point A where He sent me to point B where He's told me to get, amen, only to find that in the Christian life there are winds of antagonism that blow. Amen, there are winds of opposition. Amen, that are caused contrary to the will of God in our life. Amen. And buddy, I'm telling you what, one of us and not relate to the distress that they are in. And they still have a desire, though the winds are blowing, amen, to be in the will of God. And you row and you row and you row and you row and you row. Amen. And the harder you row, the further you feel like, amen, my friend, the destination is getting. Amen. And yet you just row on and you row on and you row on. Amen. I'm telling you, the Christian life of many days is not a life of easy sailing. Amen. It's not always a nice salt breeze to, amen, coming from your back. Amen. Many a days it is gale force winds, amen, that are said to be contrary to your direction. Amen. Amen. You said, if I knew it was going to get this bad, amen, I'd have never gotten the boat in the first place. Amen. May I remind you this morning, amen, that to be in distress in the storm, amen, in the will of God is still far greater, amen, than standing on the shore out of the will of God. Amen. The greatest place on earth you'll ever be. Amen. No matter what that, no matter what comes against you and what that brings into your life, amen, the greatest place you'll ever be in the world is in the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. And so I'll say to this point, child of God, row on. You say, I don't know how much more I can stand. Just don't drop your oar. Amen. You may feel like, and you may even be losing ground. Amen. But if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, at the distress you're under, yet you're in the will of God. Amen. Do not abandon the will of God. Do not forsake the will of God. Amen. Do not, my friend, let your life, amen, become so tortured, amen, that it drives the truth out of your heart.
Amen.
The departure of the disciples, the distress of the disciples, it is in this moment of toiling and rowing. Christ is aware of the contrary winds. He's aware of their distress. He is aware of what they have faced, not for a little while, but hour by hour by hour on into, Brother Mike, the fourth watch of the night. The watches of the night go from 6 in the evening, the first watch, 6 in the evening to 9. And then the second watch from 9 to 12. The third watch from midnight to 3 in the morning. And the fourth watch is at those 3 hours, 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning. Amen. They have been rowing upwards to 6 to 9 hours. Amen. They have been toiling in rowing. Amen. But now Christ comes walking to them. Amen. The Bible said walking upon the sea. Amen. Walking upon the sea. Amen. Wouldn't you like to saw that? Amen. Wouldn't you like to witness that on that night? Amen. You've never seen that. You've never seen that happen before. Amen. You've never been an eyewitness to somebody, amen, walking on the water. You've never done it before. Amen. Only Christ and only Peter have ever walked on the shore. And even Peter only done it for a little while, and I'm not being critical of him. Amen. By no means. Somebody said, what do you think about Peter? Amen. Getting out of the boat and walking on the water. Amen. I say hooray for Peter. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the only one that got out of the boat. Amen. And done it. And as far as I can tell, amen, in the Word of God or even in the Guinness Book of World Records, he still holds the record for doing it the longest. Amen. And so, amen, he comes walking upon the sea. Now, I would have loved to have seen that, but greater than seeing that wondrous miracle, I really want to tap in today to the declaration to the disciples. For there is something greater than what they seen. You say, what can be greater than seeing Jesus walk on the water? Y'all ready for this? Hear him what he had to say.
Amen. Amen.
We got a generation that, my friend, they are priding themselves in what they perceive they have saw. I want to say there's something greater than what you can see. It is what you hear from God's Word. There's a lot of confusion going on in our day. And a lot of things we see that, hey man, I think it's wise we sit back, and I don't want to get sidetracked. Y'all can fill in all the details. If you don't know, then good for you. If you know, you know. So the young folk would say, hey man, however they would send that acronym out. Hey man, if you know, you know. But in this day, hey man, there's a lot of people that are worked up into a frenzy because of what they see. Hey man, but what they saw was not nearly as great as what they heard. Because the Bible said, and as Christ came walking to them upon the sea, He would have passed them by. Amen. He would have passed them back. Amen. There is the element of a test that is involved. Amen. In this of Him coming to them walking upon the sea. And I'm not diminishing that. I'm not diminishing, amen, a miracle. I'm not diminishing what Christ is doing. That is amazing. But what they saw did not comfort them. In fact, the Bible said when they saw this, they were troubled. It wasn't until He spoke His word that they felt the peace that can only come from God. It was what He said that helped them more than anything. Amen. Though the winds were blowing, though they had the oar in their hand, and I can see them, John, as they're rowing, they've rowed so hard to the point that their hands are literally, amen, cleaving to the oar. Amen. Just trying to stay on course. And it wasn't until Christ, amen, not just walked on the sea, but came to where they were. And the Bible said, He said unto them, here's His declaration, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, praise God. They did not so much. Amen. It's not so much that they needed a miracle as they needed a message. There is, oh boy, I'm trying not to get bogged down, Brother Mike. There is in this day, amen, there is in this day a downplay of the message, a downplay of the Word of God, a downplay of getting a word from Christ, amen, and a magnifying of God. Send a miracle, amen. We don't need miracles more than we just need a message from God. It was the message that comforted them. What is the declaration? And I ain't even give you my thought when I get there. I got five things I'll give you. Just bear with me a moment. Amen. Notice, women, there's three statements in this declaration. Two, He is imploring them to be something or to not be something. And then the middle statement is where, amen, we'll derive our thought from and center all of this around. Amen. Notice with me, He says, first of all, be of good cheer. Amen. This simply means to have courage and boldness. It means this, to be daring. Amen. Disciples, just be daring. Amen. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. Amen. Have courage. Have boldness. Yes. His statement, this phrase, be of good cheer, it is always used in the Word of God as a word that is spoken for encouragement.
Yes, sir.
Christ is saying, I'm encouraging you, fellas. I see you toiling and rowing. I see you trying to go from point A to point B. I see the wind. I see the storm. I see the effort. I know the distress that you're in. And I just came back to give you a word of encouragement. And I say this morning, I love with, amen, I love it when my friends or my family gives me, amen, an attaboy and a good job and a pat on the back. And there ain't nothing in the world like, amen, when the Spirit of Christ comes to where you are, amen, and you're wore out and you've been facing the winds of antagonism and the winds of opposition and you feel all the elements of the world and all the gates of hell as though they're trying to hinder you from being what Christ wants you to be. I have the Lord come by and just give you a word of encouragement. Ain't nothing like it in all the world. So he implores them and encourages them, be of good cheer. Well, Lord, do you know what we're going through? Do you know how tortured we are right now? Lord, what do you mean, be of good cheer? And the Lord said, just be of good cheer. Yeah. Amen. That seems like it's going to be hard to do, don't it? Amen. Notice the last line, we find the second thing that he implores them about. Amen. Not only be of good cheer, but fellas, be not afraid. Be not afraid simply means to be frightened or alarmed or in awe. Be not afraid. It implies, Brother Randy, that one is so terrified that they are tempted to run away. They are tempted to forsake where they are. Is anybody listening this morning?
Yes.
Have you ever been there, amen, where you felt, hey, I can't handle anymore. Amen. And God has put within every human being, amen, that fight or flight instinct that we have. Amen. The Lord is saying, don't give way. Fellas, I know where you are. I know what's against you. I know how you feel. I know how worn out and distressed you are. Do not give place to your flight instinct.
Amen.
Fellas, be not afraid. Amen. You're out here because I sent you out here. You are where you are because you done what I told you to do. Now, fellas, be not afraid. Don't be so terrified that you run away from the will of God. Everybody in the building. You ever been there? Oh, come on now, wake up. Have you ever been there? Lord, I can't take anymore. I'm going to run away. Even David found himself saying, amen, oh, if I had wings as a dove, and when I fly into the wilderness, I would get out of this suffering. I would get away from the battle and the things that I'm facing. If it were possible, I'd leave it all behind. There are times with what we face, amen, the winds, wherever the opposition is coming from, no doubt. Amen, no doubt this storm has been sent to them even in the will of God. Amen, I'll deal with that in a moment. But, amen, but no doubt, amen, as the wind blows, no doubt in my mind, amen, the demons and the voices of hell, amen, are saying to them, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just throw down your oar? Amen. Why don't you just do this or do that and leave all of this behind? Christ comes to them and says, be not afraid. Do not abandon the ship.
Amen.
So we find here his declaration involves be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Notice the very center of all of that, because the fact of the matter is, in our flesh we would say, Lord, you don't understand. I don't know how to be of good cheer. It's not in me to be of good cheer. It's not in me to be not afraid. And may I say, amen, we would be exactly right. Amen, we do not have that ability. We're not that spiritual. We're not that experienced. We're not that great of Christians that you and I within ourselves can do that.
Oh, you don't believe that? Don't make me preach right here. You ain't half as spiritual as you want everybody in the building to think you are.
You try to make it on your own. You try to be a good courage and cheer on your own. You try to be bold on your own. Amen. And I'm telling you, the winds are going to bust you in your mouth. Amen. They'll make sure that you have more torture poured out on you than you can handle. And you'll be the crown than a runaway. There's been bigger and mightier, more spiritual people than you and hey. Amen. That have bowed down, that have quit, and have forsaken. And cause somewhere along the line, they thought that the strength was in themselves. It is not in yourself. Notice what Christ said. Amen. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Here's the center of all of that. It is I. Oh, praise God. I need all day to preach this. It's getting bigger and bigger. It is I. Well, why didn't he say, because they supposed him to be a spirit. They thought in their old wives' tales, Debbie, that this was some sort of ghost or spirit creature from another dimension. Why didn't he say, hey, fellas, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. He didn't say, it's Jesus. He said, it is I. That phrase, it is I, is a direct correlation to the self-existent Savior.
Amen.
It's the same phrase derived that later Christ is going to look at the Pharisees and look at them and say, when they said, we have Abraham to our father. Jesus would look at them, ladies, and he would say, before Abraham was, I am. I am. In other words, amen, I am greater than Abraham. Amen, Abraham worshiped me. Abraham, I was back before Abraham, and Abraham walked with me, and Abraham worshiped me, and Abraham knew who I was. Now he comes to his disciples and he says, hey fellas, it is I. The one, oh man, the one who made the wind. The one who forms the storm. It is I. I am the one that constrains you to get in the boat. It is I, the one that will give you the courage and the strength and the ability not to run away. Oh, I feel some preaching coming on, Brother Larry. What he's telling them is, fellas, I know you're weary. I know you're to the point of nearly dropping the oar. But be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I have what you need to make it. I'm the one. I'm the reason that you're in the storm, and I am the reason you're going to come through the storm.
Yes, sir.
Child of God, do not forget, as the old songwriter put it, we know the master of the wind.
Amen.
We need no introduction to him. Amen. These 12 disciples in the boat. Amen. Jesus didn't have to come up to them and say, fellas, it's good to finally meet you. My name is Jesus Christ. I am from Nazareth. No, they needed no introduction. The fact that he said it is I was enough. Amen. To tap them into, amen, everything that Jesus was. It is I. Have you ever heard that? And I'm not going to be able to finish this. I need to wind down because I got 5 things, Brother Larry, that will blow your mind out of this text. Have you ever had the Lord come by and say, hey, Larry, it's I.
Amen.
And you be so close to Christ, you don't need him to tell you who his name is. He just says, it's I. It is I. Can I put it in layman's terms for us? This is how I read into the whole statement that Christ is saying. He's saying, I am the center of everything I'm calling you to be.
I am in the middle of it all. One preacher preached years ago on the eye of the storm. And I love that thought, buddy. The eye of the storm. That old hurricane spins out of control. Amen. And on them outer bands, and as it makes its way in, it's doing all kinds of destruction. But if you could stay, amen, in what they call the eye of the storm, there's great peace and there's great calm right there in the middle of all that is there. Can I say that is who Jesus Christ is? He is the eye of the storm. It is I. Amen. In me you'll find your calm. Amen. I think that is what the Lord is saying. He's saying, hey boys, keep calm. Everything you need to make it through the storm, you'll find in me.
Amen.
That's what he's telling them. But Mike, I'm convinced in studying that passage, that is exactly what he's reminding them of. That you have things in me that will bring you through the storm. Hey man, there's no need for alarm. There's no need to be terrified. There's no need for you to fail the test that you're in. It is I. 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 Stay calm. I'm going to give you what you need.
Amen.
Can I say from verse 45 to verse 52, that's exactly what he did. Here's my thought, and we'll pick it up tonight. Here's what I want to preach to you out of this text. I got carried away, and that's all right. But here's my thought. Here's my thought. But Gerald, I'm preaching out of this text on how to keep calm when the seas are raging. How to keep calm when the seas are raging. Would you not agree with me, just at large in our generation, the seas are raging today? Every news report, it seems like, is another gust of wind and another rising of the waves. Come on now. Every time another politician opens their mouth, it seems like there's another, amen, another gale force wind that begins to blow it, and the bow of the ship of our life begins to rise again, amen, upon some tumultuous wave, amen, that has set itself in opposition to us. I'm preaching to people that, amen, have winds that are blowing against their marriages. Amen, winds are blowing against their families and their homes. And there's some of us, we don't know what to do. Our Christians today, and in the midst of their soul, they ain't ever had a good day, or it has been a long, long, long time since you could ask them, how you doing? Wonderful. I've learned pastoring 20, however many years. Amen. Amen. Some folk you don't ask. They'll drag you. Amen. They'll drag you up in their boat and make you feel their winds too. Can I say that is not the Christian life? I didn't say the Christian life was not winds contrary to us. Amen. But it is the will of God. Amen. That there be a calm in the midst of the raging of the sea. Amen. A cheer. Amen. A smile on your face. Amen. A little bit of joy. Amen. That can come up out of here and be evident to those that are around you.
Amen.
I got joy. I'll tell you right now, I got cheer in my heart. Excuse me. That is not the will of God. Christ is, I believe, listen, you got to get a hold of this. He knew that storm was going to meet them when he put them in the boat and said, go the other side. He knew what was coming their way.
That's right.
What they went through never caught the Savior off guard. He knew the winds are blowing way, 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 way over on the other side of the mountain before they ever came down that mountain and reached the Sea of Galilee and would blow across. He already knew every wave that would rise up. He already knew every time they would drop the oar and try to stay on course. He knew all of that. In the midst of all of that, there's chaos and rage that is going on, and they're just trying in distress to do the best they can. Christ comes to them. And it wasn't the miracle, it was the message. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. How, Lord? It is I. So long as you're trying to do it in yourself, you're just going to keep on getting pushed further and further and further and further, and you're going to have to row harder tomorrow than you did today. Y'all quiet because you're thinking? Ain't you tired of rowing without any peace? I'm not saying you're not going to, amen. I'm not saying not to row, but ain't you tired of doing it and not having any peace on the inside? Well, some of y'all, you stay on the course you're on. Amen. 6 months from now, you only think you're tired of it now. Them winds ain't going to quit blowing. But I know the master of the wind. I know the whisper of calm to my heart. There is a way to keep calm.
Amen.
When the seas are raging. Well, if I leave you off there, will you come back tonight? I'll show you tonight out of the text some things Christ had provided when He said, "It is I," was enough. It was enough, Brother Larry, for them to say, "Thank you, Lord."
Amen.
And by the way, when they began to embrace the promises and the things that Christ was providing, and they brought Christ into the ship with them. Amen. I think, Brother David, it's John's account that said, and immediately they were at land. That's what some of y'all are looking for. You've had your spyglass out. Where's land? Where's land? Land ho! That's what you've been waiting to hear. But if you don't learn how to keep calm when the seas are raging, you failed the test, you know what the Lord's going to do? He's going to put you right back in the boat. Send you right back out in the sea. Send the same winds to blow until you realize you have everything you need in Jesus to make it.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm done right there. Now, y'all promised, everybody promised you'd be back tonight. I heard everybody say they'd be back. Amen. I'm banking on it now. How to keep calm when the seas are raging. I didn't mean to take all that time for introduction, but I feel good about it. See, I'm one of them preachers. I've got outlines and notes, but I don't just try to preach to get to the end of it. I want to try to give you something that's going to help you. If I'm preaching and God says, park right there just a little while longer.
Yes.
Amen. I just go with what He says.
Amen.
That's fine with me. Amen. I got the rest of my life till Jesus lets the trump sound. Amen. To get to all I'm going to preach. I'll never get it all said. No way, Brother Mo. Amen. How many of y'all believe what I preach today?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Y'all believe that? How many? Now, don't raise your hand. I think just about every hand went up. Some of y'all, amen, you didn't know, but you believe it. Don't raise your hand on this. How many of you is living in Jesus is enough to get me through?
Amen.
He's enough. I got everything I need in Him. How many of y'all have calm?
Amen. Amen.
How many of us is pulling our hair out, biting our fingernails? Pass another pill, please. How many of us are so tore up today because we're trying to do it without the I am? Amen. All right. Well, come to the piano, sister. I was just going to unhook, but I'm going to give invitation. And maybe somebody here, and I ain't preached the main points, but you already can identify with the distress of the disciples. You already know, and you're wore out, and you're struggling, and you're doing all you can. And you ask everybody, Lord, please pray for me. And I'm not ridiculing that. Get everybody you can to pray for you. But ain't you tired of being so tired? Ain't you tired of being so tired? Ain't you tired of the turmoil and the toil and the torture? Now, I'll give you the main points tonight. The fact of the matter is, I don't have to break the text down for you to leave here even this morning, even in the introduction, to say, I need Jesus' help. I need Him to help me. Now, be honest with you for a minute this morning. There are days I struggle with what I preach, and I'm doing the best I can to live it. But as a pastor, trying to minister to people who are just so wore out. And here's a common thing I'm finding. People in their weariness, Brother Mo, they're blaming everybody around them. With so-and-so, and my parents, my children, my husband, my wife, my past, my background, my pastor, my church. Everybody seems to be pointing at everybody else as being the source of the contrary and antagonistic winds. And maybe that's so, but where's the calm? Where's the calm? It's got to be in Jesus. And I'm watching people sink. I'm sharing my heart. I'm watching people sink because they think they can do it without Christ. Boy, I feel like God just set us down. Brother Bob, they're trying to do it without Christ. And in however many years I've been doing this, I can tell you by personal experience, I can tell you by observation, that don't end well. You're headed for shipwreck. You're going to get blown into some rocks somewhere along the way trying to do it without Jesus. Now, anybody here today say, I'm so tired of being tired. I'm not looking to drop my oar, but I need Christ to give me courage and boldness. I need Christ to take that flight instinct out of my heart that I'm feeling. I need the one who is I am to keep me calm. Won't you come get on the altar and say, Lord, give me a word. You've been trying to, and thank God for pastors and the word we get from preachers. Thank God for the encouraging word of a friend. Can I tell you, child of God, what you desperately need is an encouraging word directly from your Savior. That'll sustain you. Am I right, Brother Larry? That will be what sustains. I just need Him to do something in my life. No, you don't. You need Him to say something. Mark her down, and when you wake up tomorrow, and you just mark her down, preacher told me the truth. You don't need God to do something. You need God to say something. Amen.